We had been looking at fruitfulness for some time, a short time, actually. And I just feel impressed on my heart to narrow down on something very important. And then we could move on to some of the, you know, good character or the good traits of fruitful men. I remember talking to you about, you know, some of the bad traits or, you know, certain characters that hinder you and make you unfruitful. And I already stated, you know, just a few of them that I also felt led to share with you in the time being. There could be several of them, you know, but there were just a couple that I pointed out to us. And the first one I pointed out was pride, right? So I took time talking to you shortly on pride. And I just have this leading to narrow down on it because it is so important. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Solomon, in all the vastness of his wisdom, makes a very profound statement on what he thinks about pride. And how that whenever we see a man who is proud, we're almost expecting something. Proverbs 16:18, he says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see? And I'm going to be taking time to just narrow down on pride. You know, he says that when you see that somebody is about to be destroyed, or the person is about to be totally annihilated, killed, the end of an individual, how you know that an individual is coming to an end is that you will find out that this attribute of pride gets in their heart. Now, as I speak on this, I consciously listen also as I speak to you, because I myself am not exempted of whatever I'm teaching you. So while I speak to you, I'm listening to myself. So everybody can be in this web of this very bad attitude of pride. And many times, the interesting thing is that it takes the grace of God to help you see that you are becoming proud, or that you are proud. I remember one time I went to a place and it was time for, I mean, it was scheduled that we were going to have a morning devotion from what time? From 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And so, I mean, if you know me very well, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. are good times not to have schedules with me. Because at that point in time, I mean, that's just by the way. So it was scheduled 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. In my mind, I'm like, I just know I'm never going to attend this morning devotion. I mean, you could get me at any time, but not 5 to 6 a.m. So the first day, second day, and I start to feel this uneasiness, or, you know, like, it's not feeling too fine in my heart. And so I tried to search to find out what was wrong. Because anytime someone asked me, why are you not coming for the morning session, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.? I told the person, sometimes I'll not have anything to say. I'll just smile. And then in my mind, I'm like, do you know the time I actually sleep? That's the time I actually sleep. That's the time I actually start to sleep. And, you know, I will not say it to you, but in my mind, I just, you know, just giggle in my mind. You know, like, I giggle, like, you're not serious. You don't know who you're talking to. I mean, that is also my time for rest. So while I said that on the first time, I never said anything to anyone, but I had that in my mind. I'm sharing this with you so we can get to see. Because sometimes we can't see. You see, we can have excuses for many things. And that very thing we're having an excuse for is that very reason why we are just proud. So I was there and, you know, it came to me again in my heart. You know? And then, that's wrong. If you are here and there's a morning devotion at 5 a.m., even if you sleep at 5:59, you're supposed to be up by 5 a.m. to have the morning devotion with the people because you are here. I was like, oh, I never saw it like this. I thought because I was having my own time, I would not be able to, you know, fit in into that schedule. So I was like, okay, Lord, I've missed it. I see where I missed it. I change. But you see, when you're not careful and you don't have a listening ear, you might have your own way. And that's how come some people have their own ways. And they're still not able to know that that thing they have there is the reason why God cannot move them to the next level. Because we will always see pride before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. See that? So you must be careful. Yeah? You must be careful. You must be careful so that you are not proud. You know what it means to be proud? You have an excessive sense of yourself or your importance. I'm too important. Or in your abilities. And sometimes in your value. So it's like there's this heightened opinion. What's it about me? I say this because the Lord resists the proud, yet he gives more grace to the humble. Remember, we're talking about fruitfulness, and we're talking about certain characters that hinders you and stops you from becoming fruitful. Number one, pride. You see the Lord resisting a man. Resisting a man. Resisting a man. He himself fights you, and everything around you opposes you. So you have almost like an excessive sense of importance. You see, you can't be told to do certain menial tasks and small things and little responsibilities. You can't be handed over a little responsibility to do. So sometimes we might also think, I think I'm too valuable for this thing. You see that? I think I'm too valuable for these things. And all of these things are of the world. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. It's of the world. So you have, you know, sort of like an exaggerated opinion, you know, of your importance. Getting to a place that, can't they see I'm here? Didn't she see me? Can't he greet me? Doesn't he know I'm better off? Why am I not given the best position to sit? Why are they not treating me the way I ought to be treated? Oh, why did he talk to me in that manner? When you see yourself like that, I'm telling you, you are heading for a destruction. So I'm going to give you some signs of pride, because if we want to be fruitful, we're going to learn to be humble. See that? We're going to learn to be humble so that God can lift us up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, He will lift you up. So it's God that lifts men when they humble themselves. Humble yourselves before the Lord, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He will lift you up. So anybody who is exalted, exaggerating themselves, have heightened opinions of themselves, have heightened importance of what they can do, heightened importance of their abilities, they are the people God is more likely to watch them do it on their own. And because they can't do it on their own, they are up and heading for a destruction. I want us all to humble ourselves before the Lord and before our fellow men so that God can help us. So that God can help us. I'm going to be talking. When some of you see yourself here, you don't just say, Pastor, you know, I've not been like that. But sometimes, no, when you just hear your own, you just take it and change it quickly. Number one, pride speaks of itself. Pride speaks of itself. In John 7:14 to 18, I can look at just a story, you know, on how Jesus magnifies the Father. In John 7:14 to 18, now, about the middle of the feast of Jesus, went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled. See that? The Jews are marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? I'm reading from the New King James Version. So, how does he know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, oh, what an example. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. What? If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who speaks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Look how Jesus turns the attention of the religious, you know, men who were asking him, wow, how does this man know the letters, having never studied them? He says, the doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So Jesus was questioned by the Jews about his wisdom as he taught in the temple. And you know, he did not hesitate to point the source of his wisdom . It's easy for him to have said, Charlie, this one is a miracle. Charlie, wow. It's me, Jesus, now. It's me. I mean, what are you expecting? It's me. It's me. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? He says, I'm the one. He said, but what about the Father? Oh, don't forget about the Father. I mean, I'm the one you're talking about, Jesus, here. I'm the one. What are you talking? It's Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Me. I'm the one that has all the wisdom. But see how he turns it and he acknowledges the source of his wisdom. He who speaks for himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the Father's glory of the one who sent him is the one that is actually humble. So many times when you speak of yourself, speak of yourself highly, you can't even acknowledge God in your speech. You can't say that God helped me. God helped me. God helped me. And many times, it will be seen in your acknowledging of the men who actually help you. Yeah. See. Oh, it's my own. Okay. Go ahead before a destruction. Because I learned from so-and-so. So when you find yourself becoming this, you are becoming unfruitful. You are becoming unfruitful. Because it doesn't always end well. So learn to point to others and say, this person is the reason why I am who I have become. This person. This person. But sometimes you try to shield it in a way. To be your own man. So I did it. I did it. That's why sometimes when I talk about the fact that anybody who's in Christ's family, I've given the opportunity by the teaching, go and make disciples, supervising, and now they want to tell me that the people they are raising and they are the ones that are responsible, and they are the ones that have absolute control. See, that thing, I'm cutting it from this ministry. You are not in control. You're not in control. I put you there. I gave you the responsibility. If you want to be on your own, and if you want to be in control in yourself, then you should go and do something on your own. Yeah. Like I said, I'm listening to myself. I know the effective balance of what I'm teaching you. No, I know. Yeah. And that's how, you see, when somebody is proud, when somebody is proud, you will oftentimes see that there is, I'll come to those attributes. Yeah, they can't take the back scene. It's like when you put them in the back scene, they can't stand there. They always want to speak of themselves. Oh, I did it. I did it. I am responsible. So when you find out that happening, you can say that, Charlie, the devil is on my heart, or he's working on my heart. Say, preach what your pastor is preaching. Say, no, I don't have to preach what my pastor is preaching. I have my own revelation. Yes, I have my own revelation. I have revelation. In fact, I have revelation more than pastor. So I can preach better than pastor, and I can teach better than pastor. And I think I can do better. I think I can do better. If I was given the opportunity, I would do better. So pride will speak of itself. Yeah. Speak of itself. It should always be about you. Every time it should be about you. Your name should be the one mentioned. When you are speaking, it's all directed to yourself. You can't even have a fruitful conversation and then not speak about yourself and then just listen to what the other person is saying to you without saying your own or having your own, you know, self in the picture. You can't do that. I'm exposing, you know, the head of pride to you in this series that I'm going to be taking you on. So you speak of itself, you put this in. Even when you're having a conversation with your friends, have you seen some friends like that? We're just having a conversation now. I mean, at least listen to me. And it should be all about you. It should be all about what you are doing. It should be all about your ambitions. It should be all about your friend. It should be all about your... And you try to just, oh, what about me? And did you remember the last time my has come in the story again? And it's them. So it's the first trait of, you know, one of the prevailing signs of pride is that you like to speak about yourself. You like to speak about, you like to talk about yourself. Yeah. I never spoke about, what do I mean say never? If I say never, maybe that would be untrue. I hardly spoke about myself until I started active discipleship. Because sometimes in discipleship, you know, you might have to like, you might have to like naked yourself in a certain way so that the people can learn. That's the only time. Many people from my first year to fourth year knew very little about me. You can ask those who have been with me for a long time. Many people, they knew very little about me. Yeah, very little. Maybe my name. You didn't even know where I was coming from. Yeah, you didn't even know where. Maybe one time you just heard I was in Tamale or something. Just that and that. So many times I find out that people are trying to ask me questions and to know how and why and what is happening around me. Because they never knew. I was praying. I was walking sometime on the inner garden part of Central University, and someone called me. He was a man of God, and he said, please, I want to ask you a question. And I said, that's right. And he said, are you an orphan? I'll never stop asking. I'll never stop saying that. He asked me whether I was an orphan. Yeah, because I never spoke about myself. It looked like I had nothing. It looked like I wasn't relevant. It looked like I didn't amount to anything. But when an opportunity was given to me to minister, an opportunity was given to me to flow in anything, the glory of God in the place was very strong. People were blessed and all of that. So he didn't really, and he couldn't correlate. Like, at least if you have something like this, then it means that when we see you, you should be like this. But he never saw that. So he asked me, are you an orphan? Yeah, because you never see me talk about myself. But thanks to discipleship, we have to say things that we do so you can learn. We have to, you know, just open up things to you so you can be like whatever it is we are raising you up into. But aside that, never since I was not discipling anybody, I had nothing to do with anybody. Yeah. So when you find yourself speaking about yourself, and that's how the pastoral office is. God told me that if you don't learn to say things very rawly, you will not have a good pastoral ministry. Or your ministry will not be relatable in the pastoral sense. Because the pastoral ministry has a lot of sheep. And you know, sheep are not wise. You see, you don't speak to a sheep in parables. So they don't get it. They don't understand wise sayings. Yeah, you don't speak to a sheep. When you are speaking to a sheep, you speak to a sheep very, very rawly. And that's how come some of you started getting shocked when I started saying some things as they were. It's like we never heard him say these things. We've never heard pastor say these things. How did he just suddenly? Because that's what happened. If I don't say it the way it ought to be, it means that people will not have windows to connect to it so they can be truly blessed. So when you find me saying, I could be quiet on many things. I could be quiet on prayer. I could be quiet on fasting. I could be quiet on study. I could be quiet on, you know, discipleship. I could be quiet on evangelism. Sometimes the reasons why I tell you I just came back from evangelism is because I want you to learn that your pastor goes for evangelism, so you to go. That's made the main focus. Even though I could be quiet about it and not even say I just came back from evangelism. Many times it's me telling you that I'm doing this secretly so you to start learning and start doing it. Yeah. If not, I'm a very secretive person. I was listening to someone, she was telling me that, you always listen to me, you never say a word. And she was very shy. She said, For the past 40 to 50 minutes, I've been the one talking. And I was just listening. I didn't have a problem with, you know, trying to bring myself into the picture or trying to speak about myself or trying to say something. In fact, many times I'm very comfortable listening without saying a word. So the first trait, prevailing sign of pride, is that you'll find that it wants to speak about itself. It wants to speak about its achievement. Oh, I have this. I work here. Oh, I have attained this. Oh, come and see my this. Oh, let's be this. Oh, can you see that this is happening? Oh, clap hands for me. Oh, can you see? Oh, wow, it's me entering. Oh, can't you see? Speak. Abba. Should we worship you? El Shaddai. King of kings. Lord of all lords, that's who you are. So we should just worship. We should just lie down and worship you. Come on. Number two, pride always needs to be at the center. You see, another revealing aspect of pride is more like an insatiable desire to be the focal point, the center of attraction. So when you realize, listen, this thing I'm teaching you, it can happen to anyone, including the man of God, and including many other people. Everybody is not exempted from what I'm teaching. So what's the state of your heart when you see that someone is the focal point? Do feelings of unhappiness arise, you know, when you're not the primary focus of a conversation or event? When you are being ignored, it's like you are somebody's quiet on you. How do you feel? Do you feel agitated? Do you feel angry? that they are not mentioning your name, or they are mentioning and speaking good of somebody else that is not you. So you must begin to set your heart and say, hey, I felt unhappy. Wow, this thing. In Jesus' name, I'm going in a fast. In Jesus' name, I refuse it. In Jesus' name, I refuse it. That's supposed to be your response. I'm telling you, let me tell you something. Every pastor loves everyone genuinely. But every pastor doesn't trust everybody. When I say trust, I believe the best of everyone. But you can't give certain responsibilities to everyone, because you will have to build that trust over time and the skill in executing that responsibility. So when you see that somebody is saying that, when you see that somebody else, your pastor is telling someone do this, it might be that you have not proven yourself over time of being worthy of giving that instruction. So what must you do? Continue doing what you're doing. You want to be the center of attraction. I was very impressed. Let me share the story. Martina sent me something that Boyki had bought for her on her birthday. This is just out of the blue, just to explain something. And it was a cup. And the cup had a picture on it. And then when you turn the cup, there was an inscription on the cup: Happy Birthday, Daddy's Martina. You see, that statement stood out for me very well. Yeah, it stood out for me. Boyki sent it to her from the UK. It stood out for me. A happy birthday. She could have said, why should we give her the tag? I mean, everybody is daddy's girl, daddy's boy, everybody. But she could have said, no. I mean, why is she having that tag? Why? But she rather chooses to give that tag and say, that is Martina. And it was there. She could have said, oh, nah, daddy can't say that. Or pastor shouldn't say that. Or pastor shouldn't do that. Or pastor shouldn't, what is that? And it stood out for me. I saw that there was just, you know, a very simple heart in what was done. Rather than pick up on it and say that, no, I must be, I should be, I have to be. And the truth is that even if you brought all of you together, there's nobody that I overly love than the other. That's the truth. The difference is trust in responsibility. That is all. But love, I will stick out my neck for anyone, anybody, anytime, anywhere. That is a pastor. He loves everybody equally. But he can't give out everything to everybody, because they probably have not grown into that trust. So when you are not at the center, when they are not talking about you, but they are talking about another friend, it's like, I feel I'm being ignored. You're angry, embarrassed. These reactions could point to indicators of, you know, pride. You seek to be the central focus of attraction. Now, why didn't they let me sing the song? Why didn't they let me dance to the song? Why didn't they let me do it? I mean, I could do it better. Oh. So once you realize that, you say, oh, I didn't know that was the bad thing God said I shouldn't do. Then you start to be humble. Yeah. You start to be humble. 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 So whatever it is that wants to speak of itself, that needs to be at the center, it has to go. It has to go. Your class cannot always be talking about you. It can't always be about you. It shouldn't be about you always. In fact, when it's always about you, you should not be happy. Tomorrow we're going to continue on the prevailing signs of pride. But make sure that you are not speaking a lot about yourself. And you are not always in that, you know, I want to be the center. I want to be the center. If the spotlight comes on you, that's not a problem. If the spotlight is taking off you, that's not a problem. You're not craving for it. Yeah, you're not craving for it. No, if it's not on you, you'll die. And the moment it's on somebody, you are getting angry. And guys, why didn't Pastor greet me? But he greeted. It's just, you are becoming proud. So you don't have to always be at the center. Are you listening? One time I went to, it's a very typical story, true story. I went to a church. I think I've shared this before. And then there was this guy who had sat on the keyboard. And then I was supposed to go play the song that they were singing in the church at that time, because he didn't know the song and I knew the song. So let's say they start singing the song and he walks to play. And, you know, he sits down. Let's say 2 seconds into the race of the song, he sits down and he doesn't know the song. Or maybe he even knows the song. I don't remember how, but he knows the song. Then he put on the keyboard. Then I quickly walked there. Okay, yeah. So he didn't know the song. I quickly walked there knowing that he didn't know the song. So I said, oh, I know the song. So let me play so that when it's time, like when it's another song that you know, even though it's you've been playing here, I'll just sweep off. And the guy said no. Yeah, he said no. So I just moved back a little bit and I sat down where I was sitting. So I was like, wow, that's really interesting. So he sat there. Song was playing. Now, I think just right there, hey, people of God, let's not be proud though. Right there, the sustain paddle, it stopped working. No, it was working, but it was faulty. So it's like when you press different tunes, the tunes are sustained forever. It's like, so you can't even do it. Right there. In my very presence. Yeah. After he told me that I shouldn't play, I just went there and it started happening. Look, they sang the song. Oh, it was a disgrace. Oh my God. I wish I was there and I was praying, Lord, please. I know he tried. And I can see pride here. But God, please help him. God, please help him. God, please help him. I was sitting there and I was praying for him. He was sweating. He had a bow head. He was sweating on the bow head. Look. And I was sitting there and I was watching him. And the song, till the thing closed. The whole church, everybody was looking at him. And I said, Pa, look, I learned from that experience never to be haughty in my thoughts. I said, at least, maybe if you had gotten up for me to sit down, I mean, God's grace on us is different. I probably could have, it maybe wouldn't have even happened. It's like I literally saw God working against him. That's when I sat down, that's what I saw. Like God was working against him. That's why I said, hey, I tried to say, hey, then this God, he's really with me. Because the guy thought he was disgracing me. You see that? I got there and he said, no. And everybody was looking at me like, no, I'll allow you to play. I said, oh, thank you. Okay, it's fine. Okay, I just went and sat down. Then when I sat down, oh, it was a disgrace. I'm telling you, it was a disgrace. Look, even after church, he couldn't come to me. He was so embarrassed. I had to go to him and say, oh, Sunday, oh, is this okay? It's fine, Kra. I'm very... The shame. So right there, I learned that a haughty kind of a mind is not a good thing. Yeah. I think afterwards he left the church. Yeah. I think afterwards he left the church. It's not I think. I know he left the church. Yeah. Because he was proud to not to... Maybe I'm sure he was proud to maybe even come back and come and sit down there. Because the shame was too much. It was too much. Because he thought I was the one... I was the one, you know, shamed. I know, no, I will not allow you. I said, oh, sorry. I'm very sorry. And I went to sit down. And he was the one there. They were looking at him like that. And the pastor, do you know the funny thing? The pastor was looking at him, expecting him to do something. Until the thing ended. So many times you just save yourself the pride, eh? Yeah. Not wanting to be the center of any attraction. Not wanting to be the center of any, just, you know, take the spotlight from off yourself. After all, God is the one that's going to bless what you do, not man. Not man. There's several times I'd had to also tell God, God, if there was a way this ministry could be done without, you know, myself actively, like, I just want to be hidden in there and do it very wonderfully. There's not glory of a man to desire. Yeah. But sometimes we want to be the center of it. So what I'm speaking to you is what you should hold highly and esteem. Right? The Lord is helping you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you're making us fruitful. And thank you for humility on our hearts that causes us to receive grace from you and to grow in grace 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 in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for humility on our hearts. We know that in this time we're going to be exceedingly fruitful. And that's why, Lord, we prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds to have the right character that birth forth this fruitfulness in Jesus' precious name.